to the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare Podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Brother Phoenix and Stacy Leggett.
Welcome to a live edition episode of the Black Sheep Recovery Warfare Podcast on Kelly K's TikTok. Thank you for having us, Kelly K.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me.
What you just heard was the world premiere of the Black Sheep intro, and I love it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, man. Isn't that awesome? It was really good.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you, Palmer and Micah, from Giving Grace, man. Palmer's my co-host. You know Palmer.
Yeah.
You've met Palmer?
A time or two.
Well, we couldn't have him in the studio today. He's at the Point Church right now, probably warming up, getting ready for your event tonight.
Yeah.
And I'd like to recognize David Dillmore and Born Again Roofing. They are our gold sponsor this month, and we thank you for your support, David. Thank you so much. And Kelly.
Yo.
You had a great day today so far, haven't you?
It has been a day. It's been a fun day.
Awesome.
You came and picked me up and surprised me by surprising people that you know that love my videos and my book, and we got to go surprise them.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was really cool. That
Kelly
was
K super fans.
I don't know how fun it is to be surprised by me. You know, personally, I've never experienced that. So
let me tell you something. Junior, the first stop we made with Junior, man, he's a big fan, man, and I'm just so moved by what Jesus has done in this man's life in the course of this last year since I met him, man.
What a powerful story he had, man. Really, yeah.
We're gonna have him on the show to share his testimony soon. It's a very powerful, moving episode. It's going to be a very powerful, moving episode. And then our second stop, we went and saw Miss Christie. Over at Family Barber, man. I'm going to tell you what's so cool about this, man. So, like, today is the one-year anniversary, or I don't know how long ago it happened, but it's the anniversary of the loss of one of her children. So, she's a super fan, and she got to meet you today, and now she can associate this day
with
getting to hang out, not just hang out with Kelly K, but also getting to give you a shave.
She did, yeah. She shaved me, cleaned the hair up, and did it all. And it was awesome meeting her and hearing her story as well. And yeah, I'm honored that I can help at all. You know, at the end of the day, who am I? We're all just living on this earth, you know. Right. But it's the love of Jesus that we want to show people, and that's really what she sees. That's what she's a fan of. Yeah, I'm the voice of it, but you're not a fan of me. You're a fan of what God has done in me and what He's doing in you. So it's just an awesome to be an extension of that and get to share the love of Jesus with her today. So yeah, it was a lot of fun. And to my TikTok followers that are watching, I believe we can see your comments. Yeah, so. Welcome in. Good to see you guys. I thank you for letting us do your show on my channel today. How fun is that?
Oh, it's great, man. It's great. You know, man, I just can't thank you enough for doing that for us today, man. It just goes to show how humble you are and that you're willing to take the time to spend with, you know, not to say your fans, but like you were just saying, the fans of Jesus.
You know? I don't see it as you guys are, you know, anybody's following me and I'm a... We're doing ministry together.
Yes.
It's a body. The body of Christ is a body, right? I may be a mouth, but without hands and feet, it doesn't do any good. If I made videos and wrote books, but no one read them or reposted the videos or commented or shared or any of that stuff, it wouldn't do any good. So I see us just as a team, as ministry. And that's how, all Christians, we should look at ourselves like that. We are the body of Christ.
Absolutely.
We all have a part to play. We're all doing this together. So I appreciate that they're quote unquote fans, but really we're same team.
And which leads me into this, the first scripture I'd like to discuss with you. Like, the first scripture I want to discuss with you is Deuteronomy 14:2, man.
Okay.
This, I was in my devotional the other day, and this really resonated with me because it really touched me in my heart because all those years that I was out in the darkness and addiction. And if your followers ever want to dive into my story or whatever, you can just go check out my YouTube channel. And I've got a video of my testimony on there, and you can watch several of our other videos where I talk about it. But all those three decades that I was out in my darkness and addiction, I always felt like that I was set apart for something better and something greater. You know, just like Jesus says, we would go on to do greater things. Mm-hmm. And when I read this scripture the other day, it just really resonated to me. It says, Deuteronomy 14:2. It says, "You are a holy nation. The Lord your God has set you apart for himself. He has chosen you to be his special treasure. He chose you out of all the nations on the face of the earth." And when I read that, it really resonated with me because all those years in darkness, I felt that. Like I felt that I was meant for something better and to do greater things. And now I get to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like that he set me apart for his good will and his purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. I love that it says that we're his treasure because, you know, think about how hard we are on ourselves. Every day, you know, we just examine our flaws, our weaknesses, all the mistakes we made, but we need to look at it from God's perspective. We are his masterpiece.
Yeah.
He's a creator, but we are the crown jewel of his creations.
Amen.
Out of everything he's ever created, we're at the top of the list, right? He loves us. He sent his son to die for us. So we need to start seeing ourselves the way he sees us. Stop beating up ourselves, saying how worthless we are, how horrible we are. I wish I looked like them. I wish I could do what they could. No, you are a masterpiece. Yeah. You're a treasure, man. When you start seeing yourself the way that God sees you, and I don't think that we can ever fully see ourselves the way God sees us. You know, I have no idea, but I wish I did. But man, right. that'll change the game for you when you realize you are a treasure. You are a masterpiece, you know?
Fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's it, man.
I love
that. That's it.
So anyway, I've been in Deuteronomy like a lot lately.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny that you told me we were going to talk about Deuteronomy today. Yeah. I'm like, when was the last time I ever read anything in Deuteronomy, man? What are you doing reading in Deuteronomy?
Well, here's how it came about. So I'm doing this year-long devotional on YouVersion, and it skips around all throughout the Bible. So it starts off with something from the Gospels, you know, and then it moves on to something from Old Testament, and then it jumps back forward to a chapter out of Paul. Yeah. It does a psalm, it does a proverb, and so on. I mean, it works out very easily for me to understand all that because I don't know if you've ever tried to read the Bible from first page to last page, but it's really hard.
Right.
So
it's really not meant to be read that way.
Yeah, it's really, you know? But see, I didn't realize that until somebody turned this particular devotional on to me. And I mean, I'm almost 200 days into it. And
that's awesome.
And now I look forward, I'm like, man, I look forward to it getting back into the Old Testament stuff. And so it's in Deuteronomy, and I'm like, man, Deuteronomy is metal, bro.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm talking about there's some cool stuff.
Read Judges. You want to read the most metal book of the Bible, Judges.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine he was agnostic, but his wife came to the faith. It's my best friend that I grew up with. His name is Jason Ballard. And, you know, we get in conversations too and stuff, and we were getting conversation about the Bible. So his wife came to the faith, so it really just brought him to the faith through her.
Right.
And he's seen everything that's happened and take place in my life. And so he's, you know, he's all the time, you know, we have conversations. So one conversation we had was, man, John, have you read the Bible all the way through? I'm like, yeah, man, a couple times, you know. And he's like, dude, there's some Game of Thrones type stuff going on in this book, bro.
That
it's like
true.
This book, I can't put it down.
Yeah, no joke. Yeah.
But then that's what took me to the something else I want to talk about today is Deuteronomy 18.
Okay.
All right. And this has been on my heart a lot. I think it's 9 through 12 or 10 through 13. And, you know, as I'm scrolling through my TikTok, and, you know, we've got the eclipse coming Monday, and then you have, you have a lot of TikTok creators that are giving words of knowledge, and they're doing psychic type readings and tarot readings and things like that. Well, when I read this scripture, it really put it on my heart that I wanted to do a live or at least do a video about it. And what it says is Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 13. It says, "Here are things you must not do. Don't sacrifice your children in the fire to other gods."
I'm glad it said that.
I've never seen
it. I almost did that.
I was actually thinking about doing that.
Glad we threw that one out there right away.
I have not yet seen a TikTok creator do that.
Well, so, it's not, you know, what do I got going on?
But it says, don't practice any kind of evil magic at all. Don't use magic to try to explain the meaning of warnings in the sky or any of the other signs. Don't take part in worshiping evil powers. Don't put a spell on anyone. Don't get messages from those who have died. Don't talk to the spirits of the dead. Don't get advice from the dead. The Lord, your God, hates it when anyone does these things. So with that being said, it's like, so you see, you know, on the TikToks and things, you see examples of people doing these things.
Yes.
You know, a lot.
Yeah.
Like a lot. And I can also remember that, you know, when I was homeless and I was, you know, out there on several years of methamphetamine use and heroin use, it seemed to me that everybody that was lost in that darkness were all trying to turn to something. Something right. more powerful than them, and you know, and they were experiencing evil things happening to them, and truly evil things were happening to them because they happened to me. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on all of that, and what you would say to your listeners that do follow you, but they also, you know, might get sucked into, you know, a rabbit hole of that type.
Right. Well, yeah, I have a lot to say on that, so I'm trying to think of where to start. But at the end of the day, you know, I've seen a lot of Christians that still believe in, you know, the Zodiac or tarot cards and things like that, and it blows my mind. So when I read that scripture, you know, just every single line in it, not just the don't throw your babies into the fire,
right?
Every line of it is like, yeah, that's common sense. It goes without saying, but I guess it's not. It's really not. You're right. People are looking for light in the darkness. Nobody wants to be in the darkness. We need light. Here's what I want to say, though, to people that are using tarot cards that look to astrology, any of that stuff, you know, the Zodiac, any of that stuff, looking for answers, trying to better your life. Listen, God is the creator, right? He, the author, creator of the universe, he made everything. He's not going to speak to you through tarot cards. He's not going to speak to you through any other means besides his word and himself. So what does that mean? If we're going to those things to get an answer, and yes, you're going to get an answer. If it's not coming from God, who's it coming from?
The enemy.
The enemy. The devil. Enemy. All right, well, let's look at that. You're going to the devil to get advice and information for your life. What does the Bible say the whole entire purpose of the devil is?
To kill, steal, and destroy
you. So when you're turning to that method to find out answers for your life, you are giving the devil an open door. You're just saying, hey, destroy me. Destroy me.
Yep.
Look, the devil can't take your salvation from you, all right? If you're a Christian and you're still looking at that stuff, he can't take your salvation. But what he can do is make your life on earth feel like hell. That's what he can do. He can rob you of your blessing, of your freedom, of your peace, and your joy. And when you're turning to other things besides God himself, who wants to speak to you directly himself, you are just saying, devil,
come on.
Have access, free access, whatever you want to do. Yeah. So whenever you're taking that advice, yes, look, here's the problem. People are using tarot cards and going to psychics and stuff, and they're seeing results, good results.
Yeah.
Of course. Do you think the devil's just going to come and just smack you down day one? Right. No.
That's how he traps you.
Right. He wants you to feel comfortable. He wants you to think, yeah, this works. This is great. My life is amazing. But what he's doing is really driving you away from your purpose and what God has called you to do, taking you down another path that seems amazing. But what you don't see is 10 steps down the road, how this is going to be the one thing that derails you completely. It ends your marriage. It ruins your relationship with your kids. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But, and we think, man, this is great. He's opening up all these doors for me. No, he wants to kill you. And he wants to destroy you.
And he's so sly and so crafty. He makes it look so innocent and so harmless.
And it's not. It's not. When you open your life open to these things, listen, anybody can have whatever they want. A Christian, you can have whatever you want. You can live and walk in whatever spirit you want. I can walk in a spirit of joy. I can walk in a spirit of fear. It's my choice. When you open the door to those things, you are letting that stuff come and have access in your life. And I don't think people really understand that. I love that the Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear.
Yes.
That shows us that fear is not an emotion. It's a spirit. And what that means is that we have authority over these spirits in Jesus Christ. We can get this stuff out of our life. But what happens when we keep going to tarot cards, we run to any of these fortune-telling things, we're just letting them right back in. Then we wonder why we have bad dreams. We wonder why we struggle with all these different things. Well, because we invited those spirits into our lives.
Yeah, you have to be very careful about what you allow into here and into here.
Absolutely.
Because it'll ultimately end up consuming you.
Yeah. Yeah. So many people write me and ask, you know, questions all the time. You know, as a Christian, can I smoke? Can I drink? Can I listen to secular music? Can I watch horror movies? I get those a lot. And it blows my mind because I'm like, do you not understand? You don't need to ask me that. Just look, is this something that I want in my mind? Do I want to meditate on this? Because what I put in here, I'm going to think about. Mm-hmm. What I think about, I'm going to speak about. Whose image are we created in?
God's.
How did God create anything?
He spoke it into existence.
We create when we speak. Understand the world that you're living in, everything that you see going on in and around your life, you spoke it into existence. If you don't like the world that you find yourself living in, change the way you speak, and you're going to change the world around you. So I want to put things in my mind that when I meditate on them and start speaking about them, I'm building his kingdom.
Amen.
I'm shaping my life in the direction it wants to go. So Can I, as a Christian, watch horror movies? Can I listen to secular music? Absolutely you can. Why do you want to, though?
Exactly. Why do you want to?
That's the real question. Not can I, it's why do you think that you need that? Why do you think that's going to benefit your life versus something that God has for you, godly, right?
So looking at those scriptures through a modern lens, okay, instead of like the Old Testament writing of it. So, you know, not throwing babies in the fire. What are some things that people are into, like the crystals?
Sure.
You know, the new age crystals. I've heard yoga is you want, but I'm not real sure about that.
That's enough, and I know that there's a lot of people, and I haven't actually done any content on yoga yet, but I do get that a lot. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay.
The act of yoga itself, the act of stretching, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's absolutely nothing wrong with
stretching. So when people ask, you know, can Christians do yoga? Can you stretch? Yeah, go for it. All you want. The problem becomes whenever you make yoga about any sort of Eastern religion or whatever, where what are you focusing your meditation on? The act of stretching and doing these classes, there's nothing wrong with that. Look, God is concerned with the why, not the what. I feel like I say this 9 billion times a day. He's concerned with your heart and your attitude of why you're doing this thing. He's not so concerned with what you're doing, right?
That's good.
We're in a relationship with him. It's not about rules. It's about relationship. If there's something you're doing that God doesn't like, he's going to convict you, give you conviction. He's going to speak to you, right? And he's going to let you know. If you don't have peace about something, don't do it. God always leads in peace. The enemy pushes with stress, anxiety, and depression. It's real easy to tell which direction God wants you to go. No peace, don't do it. So for people wanting to know, can I do yoga? Yeah. If it's about a religion thing to you and you're making it about a God, which I assume you're not, then that would be wrong. But just the act in itself. Again, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
Not what. Why? So I hope that helps somebody. I don't know.
You know, and this also, this falls into all the other things like the Wiccan things, which is warlocks thing, the tarot, like we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's just all about, these things are real.
Yeah.
You know, these spirits are real.
Absolutely,
and
it's real.
Ultimately, if you allow that into yourself, into your soul, and into your spirit, it's going to grieve the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
And it's going to be, it causes like internal battles, man. I mean, I know that throughout all that, I felt like there was a war over my soul because there is. And so I felt pulled to the Lord, even though I was shooting dope every day, I could literally tell the Lord was trying to pull me out of darkness. I could feel it. I was just ignoring it and running away from it because I was so angry with God.
Right.
And so I was running to all these other things that I was trying to numb out, you know, all the grief, all the anger, all the envy, jealousy, all the loss that I went through with losing my sister to a heroin addiction, to back-to-back losing my parents to cancer. I just, in my mind, I had it in my mind that, how could a God allow all of this? And so, I mean, but I knew that there was a God, but I was angry with him because I felt like he was punishing me. So I was running to all these other things.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that people would understand that God's not punishing you. He's not up there looking to punish you. He's not. So many people have that mindset of God that he's just waiting for me to mess up. He wants me to mess up so that he can punish me. Understand, the Bible teaches us the wrath of God was satisfied on the cross.
Yeah.
Jesus changed everything. The death of Jesus on the cross means that you get all the grace, all the love, all the mercy, all the good of God without the wrath of God. And I know there are people watching right now going, no way, brother, don't say that. Look, it's in the scripture, right? When the angel came And we see this as a Christmas scripture. It blows my mind. This is one of the greatest scriptures in the history of the world, right? When the angel comes, the night Jesus is born to the shepherds, what does the angel say? It says, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. What the angel was saying is now that Jesus here is here, he's going to take all the wrath of God for all the sin on the earth. And now what we as humans get is peace on earth and God's goodwill towards men. Now, the problem runs into, well, if I do something wrong, there's still consequences. Yeah, that's not God punishing you. There's just consequences to sin.
Well, here's the thing. It also says in the scripture that God corrects the ones he loves.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
And let me explain what this really looks like, okay? If I tell my son, Jax, hey, do not go up on the house and jump off the roof. That's dangerous, right? I don't want you to do that. That's the rule. Don't do it. Let's say he goes up on the house, jumps off the roof, breaks his arm. How ridiculous would it be? Him in the ambulance telling the ambulance driver, yeah, my dad punished me. He broke my arm because I jumped off the roof.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, that I didn't punish you. Matter of fact, I love you. I told you not to do it because I knew this would happen. But this is not me punishing you. This is what happens when you do that. I loved you before. I love you during. I'm going to love you through the healing process. This is just what happened. Same thing with us. Jesus paid the price for our sin. We do not have to suffer the wrath of God because of our sin. However, sin still has consequences.
Yeah.
So when you sin, that's not God punishing you. That's just what happens. So we need to stop getting mad at God and blaming him, saying, oh, God punished him. No. The wrath of God was satisfied.
Yeah.
He loves you. That's Amen. All he does. He cares about you, loves you, wants to see you grow. He doesn't want you to go through the pain of when you sin. That's why Jesus says, sin no more. Yeah. Right? Unless something worse is going to happen to you, bro. We need to get the right mentality of that. And I don't even know how we got started on that. Sorry.
No, it's okay. No, look, this is why I love this platform, because you never know. You never know where you're going to go.
Right.
But, now we cleared all that up.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So you're in town for the weekend.
Yeah, here
You've got three different services, three different messages.
There's tomorrow morning. I think your church, is that your church?
Yes.
Yeah. Your church has two services. Yeah. So that's that message. I'll do the same.
Mm-hmm.
But then we've got tonight a service, 2 a.m, then 1 p.m.
Well, what are you going to talk about tonight?
Well, really,
just
so,
a preview.
So we're doing this is a revival. So what my goal and my plan when I get to do these things is when we do three separate services, we're building towards something.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I like to do. My Bible says anytime the gospels preach, miracles and signs and wonders will follow. America does church all wrong. We do it wrong. We come in, we sing these songs, hear an amazing message, and then we get out as fast as we can to get to lunch. Understand, coming to church is not about our performance, our show. It's about what God wants to do, right?
Sure.
The worship and the message is just setting up the table for God to show up and work. But the American church says we set the table and then we leave. What? God wants to show up and do something. So my plan for this revival is night one, we're going to do salvation right out the gate. We're not building to salvation at the end. Yeah. We do salvation at the beginning. Why? So that now the rest of the services, we can equip you, build your faith. And then the last service, we're going to have a healing service, because now we should all be on the same page. We have a relationship with Jesus. Our faith is built. We know who he is, what he can do. Now we're coming to him with great expectation. You know, like Paul says, I come with great expectation, believing for him to show up and do what he does. And we will have set the table and the stage for him to do whatever he wants. And I guarantee you, you watch tomorrow night, you're going to see some crazy miracles, because that is how this is supposed to work. When the gospel is preached, God shows up and miracles and signs and wonders follow. Look, you and I, we can't heal anyone. We can't set anyone free. We can't save anyone. God can.
That's right.
Jesus can. Our job is to show them him. Why is it that we do that at church and then we just leave and go eat? No. We're going to let God show up and work. And I can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Dude, this is going to be amazing.
It's going to be good.
Yeah,
someone commented, where are you? We are in Brandon, Mississippi. Is that where we are?
Yeah. Well, right now we're in Madison, Mississippi, the studio, but the church is in Brandon, Mississippi. It's called The Point Church.
The Point.
And I believe if your followers want to check out, we'll be streaming from the events.
Okay, so we'll have these streaming live tonight and tomorrow. Where can they see those?
If they want to look for the... See, me and Palmer didn't talk about that, but I'm pretty sure we're going to be doing it. But we have
Facebook.
Yeah, well, we have a community Facebook page. They also have a YouTube channel, so just look for The Point Church in Brandon, Mississippi on YouTube.
There you go.
Yeah. So,
and also, I don't know how many of my people are watching right now, but we were talking before we got started, and I really love your ministry, the Black Sheep, and what you guys are doing, your huge recovery ministry.
Yes.
Love it. So if you guys could, we need to help build their ministry. We need to help build them. So if you can go give them a follow on their page, man, it would be a blessing to me. I know it'd be a blessing to you.
Absolutely.
There's some things they want to do. They need to get some more followers to do it. So,
yeah, well, so, well, what we do is, like I was saying earlier, I was in full rebellion from the Lord for over 30 years. Like I was raised in the church. I was a believer. I believed Jesus died on the cross, but you know, I started believing the lies of the enemy. But you know, like I excelled in science throughout school, and so I was believing the lies of scientists, the Big Bang Theory stuff. And you know, at a young age, you know, the main reason I was really going to church, really in youth camps and things like that, was probably for most guys that my boys that age is for the girls,
right? You know? Yeah, that's
what. But I ingested, you know, absorbed some of the stories, you know, the story of Jonah, Moses parting the Red Sea, and all that stuff. And but I never developed a relationship with Jesus. So when I got to an age around 14 where it wasn't cool to go to church anymore, you know, where, you know, the lies of the enemy, I started smoking cigarettes. I started drinking beer, which led to liquor, which led to pills, which led to cocaine, which led to crack, which led to crystal methamphetamine, which led to all those things.
Your cigarettes and beer led to some different things than mine did.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it led me down 30 years of true rebellion from the Lord.
Right, yeah.
And what happened was, people started dying around me. And, I wrecked a relationship with the love of my life. I was with her for 12 years. The enemy took that from me, you know. Ultimately, my sister was a heroin fentanyl user, which ultimately led me to being a heroin and fentanyl user. So, I mean, I OD'd, I don't know how many times. I mean, I'd OD'd so many, been hit with Narcan so many times.
Wow. And
the Lord just wouldn't take me, man. I mean, there's no reason.
There's a plan for you here,
there
bro.
There is no reason why I should be sitting here right now.
Right.
I mean, like at one point I was in the emergency room and I was dead for over 30 minutes. But I was literally, I remember this just as clear as I'm watching this unfold in front of me. I was with my body. And I could see what was going on with, I could see my body. I could see the nurses and the doctor. And the doctor literally told this nurse, there's nothing we can do for this one. This one's dead.
Wow.
He's gone.
You were like out of body watching this happen.
Yes.
But I'm like, bro, no.
I can assure you, it wasn't like I'd been going to see the Father.
Oh, okay. So this is not a good experience.
It was not like that. Okay. No. I didn't experience no light tunnel or anything, but something was going on.
Right.
I could feel the darkness around me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the nurse told this doctor, well, let's just try the Narcan. Maybe it'll work. Mind you, I've been dead a long. I mean, I'm coming up on over half an hour.
Wow.
You know? It's amazing that I do have some type of brain damage.
yourself up.
My producer will tell you, it's like I have the short-term memory of Dory from Finding Nemo. There is damage, and Jesus is still healing me of all that.
Yeah, he is. You're good, man. I'm just kidding.
But she literally told this doctor, let's just try the Narcan. Let's try it. And they hit me with that Narcan. I got slammed back in my body. And Dean, that still wasn't enough to bring me to the Lord. It literally took me losing my sister to a fentanyl overdose, which led me, while I was in rehab, I was on my 27th day of rehab. And that still wasn't enough. I left straight up out of there and went right back to the needle, man. And I went homeless for several months. The streets of Jackson, Mississippi. And I don't know if you know anything about Jackson, Mississippi.
Just what you told me last time I was here. You know, you said don't go there.
I mean, this is like hardcore. I mean,
right.
I mean, just horrible. I mean, it's so I'm roaming the streets of Jackson, Mississippi, and for several months, and then the Lord put together some circumstances to step into my life and grab me by the scruff of my neck and show me his love. I'd gotten arrested, and it was the day that I was going to commit suicide. I'd found this big oak tree. It was dead. It was hollowed out at the base of it, and I could literally crawl into this oak tree and stand up. There was a lot of room in this big tree, man. And so inside this tree, I decided that this is where I was going to end my life. I was going to go get me some fentanyl. I was going to crawl back in this tree and end it all. It's not like anybody had been looking for me anyway. I'd burned every single bridge that I'd walked across. I poured kerosene on it and watched it burn. Did not care. I mean, my life was over. I mean, yeah. I have a daughter, and at this point, I hadn't seen her in about 3 years. And, you know, my ex, she was the only one that would really have any kind of contact with me, you know, out of pity, I think, at the time is what it was. She was fed up with even talking to me then. We'd already been broke up for about 3 years at that point. So I felt alone in the world. But for, you know, for a good couple months before that, I could feel the, you know, just the whispers of the spirit, you know, just trying to lead me away from that darkness. And I was just rebelling against it. And I didn't want nothing to do with it. So on the way to get the fentanyl, I got arrested.
And oh, wow.
Before I even got the fentanyl, it was under different circumstances, no drug related. It was a backpack situation. We had stopped at a store, and there was this young lady in front of me, and she reminded me so much of my daughter. You know, same body frame, same hair, same just the way she spoke. So we started cutting up and laughing. I felt like the Lord was kind of giving me some closure on that, you know, like getting a chance to say goodbye. What I was going to do, I was going to write a letter, and I was going to leave it at my ex's doorstep, one for her and one for my daughter, saying, you know, don't look for me. I've left the state. I'm never coming back, but I'm fine. Y'all are just all better without me. You know, just, you know, move on. And so she walked out of the store, and I was next. And I noticed this little backpack that was, you know, left right there, and I looked over my shoulder, and I saw her out there kind of digging around for something. And I thought it might have been that backpack. So I took it back out there. I picked up the backpack, and I took it out there. And I asked her, is this your backpack? Is this what you're looking for? And she was like, no, that's not my backpack. And at that point, the friend that I was with was ready to go. So me being homeless, you know, I'm used to having a couple of backpacks with me. So I just sling it over my shoulder, and I get in the car. You know, we get down the road, and I realize I have this backpack. And I'm like, you know, we got to take this back. Like, well, we'll take it back on the way back. And I'm like, I really don't care. By tomorrow, I'm not going to be on this earth anyway, you know, so whatever. So we get to where we're going. She drops me off. And, you know, I'm waiting on my dude. And, man, I got surrounded by like six cruisers all at the same time. This is at a storage unit where my stuff was. And my first thought was they think I'm breaking into these storage units. So I'm like, no. I'm telling you, look, they were acting like I was being robbed a bank or something. They had guns drawn and you know, like my first thought was they thought I was breaking in. I was like, no, this is my storage unit. And they're like, where's the backpack? Oh, and I'm like, whoa, the backpack. And I'm like thinking, what's in this backpack? You know, they're
right.
Causing a scene over this thing. So it turns out this backpack had an iPad mini in it that was powered up. So it wasn't hard to find me.
Right.
And also had a receipt printer for a Red Bull representative that was dropping off his load of Red Bull.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
so I got arrested for that, for grand larceny, something like that, whatever. So when they're cuffing me, I know that God had every bit of everything to do with this.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it angered me even more. I'm talking about I was on fire mad. I'd never been so mad and upset because I wanted to die.
Right.
I mean, why are you keeping me here?
Right.
I mean, why are you punishing me like this? So they get me to this holding cell in Richland, Mississippi, and I'm in there alone, and I'm like, well, how am I going to kill myself if I'm locked up in a jail cell? And I'm like, yeah, you did this, and so I started screaming at him, cussing him out. I'm saying things to my Creator that you could not imagine. I mean, it was awful the things I was saying about our Creator, man. And then by his power, not my own, he literally thrust me to my knees. He put me on my knees, and then I'm talking about nose to the concrete, you know. And I felt this presence of gets armed. Best I can describe it is this: I felt these arms wrap around me, and it was like being hugged by everybody that you loved.
Wow, yeah.
In your life, and everybody that ever cared about you and loved in your life, and then. I mean, being loved like that, you know, in a hug all at one time. And when that happened, it's like I was feeling the love of Jesus. Like, this is, I'm being hugged by Jesus right now. And I started crying, dude. I mean, I started bawling out crying, dude. There was so much fluid on the floor, man. It was just so much. Right. They couldn't, it would have taken a beach towel to get all this up.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that's what got that. His love is so strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's powerful. So that's that agape love.
No doubt. So, I love that, man.
So what happened after that was I went to prison for a year, and he sat me down in prison, and I was blessed enough to get sent to a prison that has huge Christian library, man.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And look, I'll never forget on the way to from that cell to another one, they were transporting me to Rankin County Jail. Man, I was smiling the whole time because I knew that I was – He was saving me for something special. And what it is this Black Sheep Recovery Warfare Ministry and podcast. So he's given me this platform to pull people out of that darkness that I was lost in, you know,
right.
throughout not just drugs and addiction, but, you know, the physical and sexual abuse and trauma that leads to people to into darkness mm-hmm. and drugs and addiction.
You know, this what God saved you for was this Black Sheep Recovery podcast, and I really just felt the Holy Spirit as soon as you said that, say no, that's just the beginning. This is not what I saved you for. Yeah. So that's coming. This is just the beginning.
Right, so it's so crazy. Like I've had some supernatural things happen to me since that supernatural thing happened to me. It's like
we should experience supernatural things every single day.
And look, I do, man. He started talking to me in prison, and he hasn't been quiet since.
Yeah,
bro.
Absolutely. He's never quiet.
When you finally hear his voice. And it's so powerful, and you know that it is confirmation from God that this is the right thing to be doing, and it's not coming with conviction or confusion or anything like that. It's just, you know, that you're walking in His will, and He blesses that.
Yeah, for sure.
And let me tell you, I'm going to tell your followers this too, man. Listen, out of my strict obedient life now that I have, that I live, man, God not only has restored everything in the years that the locusts ate and that the enemy took away from me, man, he restored my relationship with my daughter, my nieces and my nephews. He's given me a family to replace the family that I lost, that love and care about me.
Yep.
And I'm talking about,
He's a redeemer of all things.
I know, man. It's
restorer of all things.
It's just
time. Even He'll give you back your time. Yeah. We feel, you know, how many times have you felt like, man, I wasted so many years of my life? And then watch what God does in 1 year, right? I love how He does that. He's amazing.
Yeah. So when I got out of prison, while I was in prison, He told me, He's like, as long as you're obedient to me and you stay faithful to me, I'm gonna show up and show out. I mean,
yeah.
This is how we're gonna do it. I'm gonna give you a platform, a huge platform to pull people out of darkness and addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And I'm seeing some comments on TikTok. Sorry, you guys, that I haven't been looking at them, but a couple of things real quick. One, I wanted to say, I saw some of my moderators jump on here. Tamara, thank you so much for helping. This is an unscheduled event, so my moderators didn't even know that we were going to be doing this, so I'm grateful for you. There was another one. I can't remember. Yeah, we are on a podcast today. This is Black Sheep Recovery Podcast. Please go follow their page. This is an amazing ministry. I love what they're doing. Let's support them. Let's help. Look, our whole job, let's support ministries, right? Let's build His kingdom together. So let's partner with Black Sheep, you guys, and go follow their page, just whatever we can do.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that. We have a TikTok. You can go follow the TikTok. Just look.
Yeah, what is it? And then, Tamara, if you could tag it. Pin it, if you don't mind.
I put it in the comments.
Oh, you did? It's in the comments? Yeah, she can pin it up there so everyone can see it. Yeah, thank you, Tamara.
It's Black Sheep Recovery Warfare Podcast. You can check us out on TikTok, the YouTube channel. You can, I think my producer's looking for something right now to put on the screen. We have a YouTube channel, a Facebook.
Awesome.
You can literally look for the logo.
And I wish that we could hang out more and do this today, but I'm looking at the time, and I will be honest with you, I really need to go get ready for the service tonight. So.
And also just one more thing, we have a website. I love hearing other people's testimonies, and we have a website. It's blackSheepRecoveryWarfare.org.
Much easier.
Just check out our website. You can send me your testimonies, and who knows, you might get a call from me. I'll get you on the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have a friend on TikTok. I haven't met her personally, but she goes by Spiritual Sniper on TikTok. Her name's Nina, and she came out of the witchcraft, Wiccan, and God completely, radically changed her life. Her testimony is insane, amazing. I'd love to hook her up with you guys.
I'd love to talk to her.
Yeah, I think it'd be cool to have her on your show too.
Sure.
So, Spiritual Sniper, check her out. She's a beast.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, Kelly, look, thank you so much for, man, for joining us in the studio today, man. It's always a pleasure, you know, when you come. We look forward to future events with you, man.
Absolutely.
And you know, doing whatever, you know, partnering up with your ministry, with my ministry.
Yeah, we're not done.
No, we're not even close to being done.
I see people asking about the service tonight. So tonight we're at the Point in Brandon, Mississippi. Is that right? Yeah. Tonight is at 6 p.m. Tomorrow morning, 9 and 11.
Yes.
And then again at 6 p.m. tomorrow night for the Reckless Love Revival. If you can't be here, if you're too far, they are going to be streaming on Facebook and YouTube, we believe. Just search The Point Brandon, Mississippi, and you should be able to find those. Yep. And they will be live.
And we also have a Facebook page. So in one of those three platforms, you'll be able to find
I'm going to try to stream it live on my TikTok as well, but honestly, you'll get a much better quality and audio and everything if you go watch it from one of those.
And if anything, I know that it's going to be recorded. So
yeah, I plan to post them on my YouTube as well. So you guys can find them if you don't get the chance to watch them tonight or tomorrow. That's okay. We'll make sure that you get to them.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being here, man.
Thank you.
We're excited for the weekend, and y'all enjoy my new outro music. No, that's not good. That wasn't good enough. I didn't know what to say.